You know, as we were singing that, and when Billy asked the ladies to sing that little section without us, wasn't that beautiful? And the Lord just kind of showed me that, or spoke to my heart, and that's kind of like it is the body of Christ. We in this congregation, this fellowship, as we come together and we worship together and we love one another, it's almost like those ladies, it's a beautiful thing. But when the men came in with the ladies and you had that contrast and the harmonies and all working together, it was even more of a beautiful thing, wasn't it? Amen. And so God was just showing me that's the way it is with the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing when we come together and we worship and we fellowship together in this fellowship, but that's not the complete body of Christ. And I want to ask you again this morning, who in Abilene, Texas, that doesn't know Jesus, think of some folks in your life, maybe somebody at work, maybe a family member, that doesn't know Jesus, which one of those do we leave out? Hello? Which one of those do we leave out? I mean, do you think God goes through and checks off the naughty and nice list? I mean, church, God is calling us to go and be disciples, to go and spread the good news. That's a mini serving. You don't have to put anything extra in the plate for that. It's okay. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 23. It's going to be on the screen. Try to say it with me without the screen. Let's see if anybody's been learning anything these last few weeks. If you need to peek at the screen, it's okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Doesn't that just feel good? Yes. God's Word. It's alive. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. Come and speak in power and authority and change us, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're completing the sermon series, Sheepish, Life Lessons from Psalm 23. And today we'll look at verse 6, the last verse of this psalm, this beautiful psalm, this probably most well-known psalm. And we'll see how this shepherd provides hope. This shepherd, this good shepherd, provides hope. Now, in case you have missed the last 5 weeks, I invite you to go back on our website or to get a CD or DVD out in the foyer and catch up. And because I believe I've heard more comments from this sermon series than I probably ever have, how God is speaking through this psalm. And David is writing this psalm, as I said, here we go, as a perspective from a sheep. Go ahead, give us a little taste of that. If you missed the first week, you missed this. Not me. That's good, that's good. We were We were having our discovery class this morning in the cry room over there, and they launched into that song, I guess, getting the volume set and everything, and I could hardly concentrate. I mean, that thing is distracting. But David is writing from the perspective of a sheep. Now, last week, come here, guy. He's well behaved. He's sat there all week. Last week, the youth presented us with a mascot for this sermon series. It was a little late, youth. I mean, it was like week five of 6 weeks, but that's all right. And I challenged you to help name the mascot. And I got several pretty you know, creative ideas. We had Wooly. We had Harry. And is Jackie here? Where's Jackie? Jackie gave a really good one. He thought Barbara. Now, Billy and I were talking about that, and we liked you. We thought you were headed in the right direction with that. We thought, you know, to have the sheep theme, you know, but we thought it needed to be a biblical name. So we were thinking Barabbas. What do you think? Maybe. I don't know. I'll let you. That's pathetic. Stay. It does. Yeah, there. Stay. So we'll Barabbas or whatever his name is going to be. He'll go away after this week. I promise. All right. I want to look at this last verse, and really this last verse I think is kind of this summary of the results of everything else, the previous five verses. And I want to paint this picture for you that's going to kind of summarize what we've talked about these last 5 weeks. And I've been quoting some things and gotten some knowledge from this book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller wrote this book, and it's a great book. I advise you to read that if you like to read. But he talks about, he was a shepherd himself, and he talks about how all the different things that he did and how there was a real practical message in this Psalm 23. And he talks about this shepherd that begins in the lowlands in certain times of the year. They're grazing on this lush pasture, and this part of the shepherd's duty is to prepare to, you know, to make sure there's no weeds and that there's good water. And he talks about how the sheep are cared for by this pasture, and how they make this journey once a year up to the highlands. When the weather changes and the snow begins to melt, they make their way. They have to keep them moving so that they don't destroy the land that they're on and they're feeding on. And he takes this journey through valleys, and it can be a very hazardous journey, and how the shepherd watches over them, and they take this journey up to the highlands where there's good pasture up there, and they spend some time up there grazing, and then when the weather changes, they begin to make their way back down to the lowlands where the pastures have rejuvenated. And there's this whole process. The shepherd is caring for them. He's watching over this flock. He is. Remember when Jesus was born, how the scripture tells us that the angel appeared to the shepherds keeping watch over their flock at night. They slept with the sheep, and there's this constant care from predators, making sure that they're well fed, well hungry, that they're well. And then we talked last week about how they even have trouble with certain sorts of insects and so forth, that they would put oil on their head to protect them from the insects that would bring disease and all sorts of things. So there's this idea of this good shepherd, and David is speaking not as the shepherd. David, who had been a shepherd in his youth, is speaking from the perspective of a sheep. So because the Lord is our shepherd, church, I want us to, like I say, verse 6, begins to summarize, I believe, this whole psalm. So I want to look at our first point here for this verse 6. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we are blessed to be a blessing. Now, too many times and you've heard me say this before, too many times we think that the Christian life is about having our ticket to heaven. Everybody got their ticket? That's what we think it's about, our ticket to heaven. Well, that's a great benefit, but that is not, nowhere does biblically do we find that we accept Christ just for ourselves, just to receive this blessing from Him. We are blessed to be a blessing. Now, the thing is that when we are under the care of the Good Shepherd, we will be blessed. Now, this is not a what's the term, Billy? That the gospel where prosperity gospel. That's what I'm looking for. Many preachers, you'll see a lot of these guys on TV will preach prosperity gospel. It's like you accept Jesus and life will be good. The money's just going to start arriving in the mailbox any day. It's just going to start flooding into our home. And you will be well, and you will be happy all the time, and all of these blessings will just abundantly be poured out on you. Is that what we're talking about here? Is that the reality of walking with Christ? The reality is that life is tough, but this verse starts out and it says, surely. I want that word to just kind of sink in a second. Surely, not maybe, not probably, not most of the time, but surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. What is he talking about there? Listen to in Lamentations, it says, because of the Lord's great love, and the King James calls it mercies, because of the Lord's great mercies, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Don't you love that? I mean, we have this compassionate, merciful, good shepherd. Now, the thing about it is, the shepherd, you know, sometimes the shepherd, in back to the actual analogy, sometimes a shepherd, no matter what he tries, he loses a sheep. Sometimes, you know, they die. Sometimes they get sick. With his best efforts at protecting them and anointing them and doing all these things to care for them and see that they're well fed and well watered and all of those things, he still sometimes loses a sheep. We're not talking about this life that's without difficult circumstances. We're talking about a good shepherd that whose mercies and compassions never fail. They're new and fresh every morning. And I don't know about you, but man, I love him because of that. Because his compassions never fail. He doesn't grow tired or weary of loving us. If we don't deserve it, he doesn't somehow just turn his head and walk away. No, his compassions, his mercy, his love is new every morning. And then it says, as we go on in this passage, so surely he will pour out on us goodness and mercy. And then he says, it will follow me. So there's this idea that that yes, the good shepherd follows and that blessings come from that, but I also see that as the sheep move, they leave behind blessings. Now, we're getting into, you know, some of you who've raised sheep, you understand what blessings can look like with a sheep. Did you know, now this is kind of tacky for, you know, to be hearing from the pulpit, but did you know that the sheep manure is some of the, it is, the greatest domesticated animal manure for fertilizer there is? We ain't good for much, but we got good manure. You know, because we're sheep. I mean, I told you, you know, I've been saying it's not a compliment necessarily that God refers to us as sheep. But we're this idea of following, this goodness and mercy, follow me. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And then he also says in 1 John says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus cried, Christ laid down his life for us, and we like that part, but there's a second piece to that verse. It says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Hello. Suddenly, this faith is asking something of me. It's not just about receiving and this receiving this abundance of blessing, but we're to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That we should see people as precious. Do we see people as precious? Are they worth a little embarrassment on our behalf? I admit that I feel like I'm supposed to speak something to someone and I'm a little embarrassed about it. But Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Goodness and mercy flows out to us, and therefore it should follow us. It should be, we should be drenched in this goodness and mercy. Our cup, as it said last week, as we studied last week, should overflow. And something about an overflowing cup, it gets on other stuff. An overflowing cup doesn't stay in the cup. It overflows and affects the things around it. The only sure way to measure our appreciation for the goodness and mercy that God has bestowed upon us is the level to which we bestow it on others. I want to say that again. I want that to sink in. The only sure way to measure our appreciation for the goodness and mercy that God has bestowed upon us is the level to which we bestow goodness and mercy to others. Second thing I want us to look at from this verse, because the Lord is our shepherd, we are always in His presence and under His care. Not sometimes, but it says, surely goodness and mercy, because you're the good shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord most of the time, sometimes, forever. Now, we think about this as, we think about this dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. We think about that when many times this verse is quoted at funerals. And we think about this as our eternal place. But you know when eternal life starts? Right now, at this moment, today. Not someday when we pass from this life. Eternal life doesn't start at our death. Eternal life starts right now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word house, it's really probably, I think, a more accurate translation, in the presence of the Lord forever. That seems to make more sense to me, that I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. You know, as I was saying a while ago, the unmanaged sheep can be one of the most destructive animals to their environment. We've talked about this, how left unmanaged, sheep will graze a pasture down, and they don't stop at the ground. They'll pull the root out, and all you'll have left is just this barren dirt if they are not managed properly. But on the other hand, a managed, well cared for sheep can be one of the most beneficial to their environment. And we talked about the manure thing, but it's not just the manure, but sheep have a tendency to go to high ground. They like to go to the higher ground that's available to them. And guess what happens when manure happens on the high ground and then rains and so forth come? It washes this down and it replenishes the land. Isn't that cool? I mean, not really cool about the manure, but But how God has equipped when a managed, well cared for sheep, how they can restore the land, not just destroy it. And God, it almost sounds like our world, doesn't it? It almost sounds like us without Christ. We can devastate the environment around us, including ourselves and every person that we come in contact with, when we're outside of the watchful presence of the Good Shepherd. Or we can be a replenishment, a restoration to the land. Third point, because the Lord is our shepherd, we have hope no matter the circumstances. Our hope, church, is not tied to our circumstances. It's not like, I don't know, I mean, if we were to be able to somehow put a percentage on this, how much of our life are things perfect? We're happy, we're healthy, we got plenty of money, everybody around us likes us, our marriage is good, our relationship with our kids and our parents is good. I mean, when all that's working, just our circumstances are just right, what percentage of our lives are spent like that? Not much. If that's the time that we are content, if that's the time that we have hope, we're not going to have hope very much. Listen to the heart of the Good Shepherd. Isaiah 40 says, "The sovereign Lord tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Do you hear the heart of the Good Shepherd? I love that. He carries them in his arms close to his heart. It's no wonder that Jesus referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. So I want to recap this whole psalm for us just briefly. Verse 1 teaches us that God is indeed our Good Shepherd. And as we move down through the next few verses, we see the first verse, we see who Jesus is, and then we see what Jesus does for us in verses 2 through 5. He provides for all of our needs. He restores our soul. He empowers us for holy living, for His glory. He provides strength to face whatever comes. He provides comfort. He provides power and protection. And the results of all of that are we have hope. Do you have hope this morning? You know, I remember the old milk commercials. Got milk? Got hope? If you don't have hope, then you don't understand the Good Shepherd. Philip Keller, that wrote the book I was talking about earlier, he talks about how he was a meticulous shepherd. He took great pride in taking care of his sheep, and he said, "My sheep were the happiest sheep in the valley, and they were the most content, and they were the healthiest," because he said, "I took great pride in taking good care of my sheep." And he talks about this neighbor that he had. And they had a fence line between them, and he literally talked about how he would remembered many times his neighbor's sheep, which were abused and were underfed, undernourished, and weren't taken care of. When the mosquitoes came, different insects came to inflict harm on them and infect them with diseases, he didn't do anything about it, and these sheep were miserable. They were scrawny, skinny little things that barely produced any of wool at all. And he remembers that they would stand at the fence line looking into his pasture. You think sheep can envy? How they would look longingly at his sheep and his pasture. And he tells this story about he lived on a coastline. and how certain times of the year the tide would go out and it would expose more of his land. And they had built fence down that would, sometimes of the year when the tide was up, the fence line would be covered. And as the tide went out, sometimes it would go out far enough that there would be an exposed area where the fence line had stopped. And the other neighbor's sheep could get to it, get around this fence and get to his pasture. He tells about this year where three of his neighbor's fence that were in horrible condition, almost near death, and how they made their way around that fence when the tide went out, and they made it his way to his lush pasture. And how they began to just gorge themselves on this green pasture. Well, how many know what happened to a sheep if they eat too much of the green pasture all at once? They get bloated, and it can lead to death. He comes outside, and his sheep, because they were used to this pasture and because they were eating when they were hungry in moderation, when they weren't just gorging themselves because they were in the rich pasture all the time. But these three had made their way around and they had overeaten and they were over on their side near death. And he found them and he placed these three sheep into a wheelbarrow and he hauled it around to his neighbor. And he said, "I'm sorry, your sheep got in my pasture, and I'm bringing them back to you." And he said, "I'll never forget." He said, the man went into his shop, and he came out with what he called the killing knife. And there was nothing could be done for these sheep at the point they were in, and he slit their throat. Jesus said, must enter through the narrow gate. I am the gate. We come into his pasture through him. And there is no other entry into the Lord's pasture. There is no other way to be under the care of the Good Shepherd except through the gate of the Good Shepherd. In Christ's presence, we are never without hope. And without Christ's presence, we have no hope. Listen to Isaiah 53. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Is that good news, church? Amen. It's so ironic that Jesus, while he himself said that he is the good shepherd, he's also the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. And because of him, church, we can have peace. Do you have that peace this morning? I mean, is he your good shepherd? Do you know what I'm talking about? If as I'm explaining this, if you just like, I don't have a clue what he's talking about, come talk to me, because I want you to know. And more importantly, God wants you to know him as the good shepherd. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We thank you that you have found us worthy to be pierced for our transgressions. We thank you, Father, that because of you, we have hope. And Father, we pray for those among us right here and in our city that have no hope. Father, I pray that you would do a mighty work in us. You would give us a passion for those who have no hope. So Holy Spirit, just do what only you can do. Change our hearts. Give us life. Give us hope. Give us joy. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. As we close with this final song this morning, I invite you to stand, and our altar rail is open. I will be down front. If you'd like to pray or would like to talk to me about anything at all, I'll be here.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song.
You are my everything, and I will adore you.
is my shepherd. I shall not want. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed.
The day